It's never easy talking about football when a tragedy occurs. The Highbury squad's thoughts and prayers are with Leicester City Football Club and the families affected by the terrible tragedy there this past weekend. Our thoughts are also with Glenn Hoddle and his family. We're sending positive energy and vibes to him for a recovery. And lastly, the city of Pittsburgh and the people who are affected by the shooting. There's nothing that we can say about a senseless act. All we can do is send our love your way.
Hi, this is Jim Piddock, and you're listening to the Highbury Squad.
Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, a.k.a. at Soccer Diva, Amanda, a.k.a. at GoonaGirl1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.
Welcome, everybody, and you are indeed listening to the Highbury Squad. This is episode 11. It could be episode 12. If only Amanda could keep up with the maths, then maybe we'd get it right eventually. She is on the podcast today. Amanda, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody. And I'm sure it's number 12.
Is it? Well, maybe Super Kevin Campbell will help us with that one. Super Kev, welcome to the show. Hello.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody, and welcome to show number 12.
I love that we're all
like
settling.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. More goals. That's not the... Did you ever have a season where you only scored 12 goals, Kev? I don't think so, right? Never.
Never the season where I scored less, but let's not even go there.
All right, we won't. We are delighted to welcome a very special guest to the show. I absolutely adore this geezer. Have been speaking to him about football for a number of years now, and he's a lifelong Crystal Palace fan. But more than that, he's an entertainment genius, a writer, producer, director. Welcome to the show, Mr. Jim Piddock. Woo!
Thank you. How do I follow that? I should just hang up now. Yeah. It's all downhill from here.
It is. Pretty much that's what happens on the show, Jim, to be honest with you. Right. Crystal Palace versus Arsenal. Always an interesting game and has been over the last two or three seasons. Palace, we suffered that 3-0 defeat from you not so long ago, ended on a 4-1 win. But I felt like this was one of Palace's best performances so far this season. Not sure if that has anything to do with Zaha kind of coming back to fitness, Jim. What was your assessment of the initial initial game today?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I've seen out of the 10 games, I've seen seven. I've been at seven of them and seen three on television. And I felt that that was the best we've played this season. And we've become a very kind of a... I call a reflective team, and I don't mean kind of intellectually. We seem to play to the level of whoever we're playing against. And
is that a good or a bad thing for us?
Well, I think today was a good thing for us because I thought that we really went head to head with Arsenal. Arsenal are a very good team and played some nice stuff, and I thought we played some very nice stuff against Newcastle, who are not a good team. We didn't play very good stuff. And without a goal scorer, you're going to end up in a lot of close games if you're that type of a team that sort of either sinks or rises to the level of the opposition. And I think that's, you know, from my perspective, after 10 games, we could very easily have 16 points. We have 8. That's a big difference between challenging for a Europa League spot and fighting, you know, another relegation battle. But that's, you know, that's the large chunk of the Premier League right now, outside the top 7 or so. There are a lot of teams in that category you know, if they could find someone to put the ball in the net, they would be getting 3 points instead of 0. We're really firmly in that group.
Jim, we've got an issue right now at left back. We have injuries, Kolasinac, Monreal. Lischteiner's had to dovetail today for Bellerin, who went off injured at halftime. Do you think that Palace smelt that very early on? I felt like that was the most... where we were the most exposed. And obviously the penalty eventually came, the equalising penalty in the 82nd minute came from that. Do you feel like that's something that Roy Hodgson observed previously? And as a Palace fan who watches them week in, week out, do you feel like you really exposed us in that area today?
I think they were aware of it. I mean, I thought what Roy did today was got us very well organised, and he got us moving the ball quicker than there have been in previous games. And that was two big pluses. I don't think we did, take as much advantage of that as we should have. I thought Townsend was the one player today who had a slightly subpar game, and he did not make the most of that situation. And it was, you know, to be fair, to wait 82 minutes to take advantage of that weakness, which was quite obvious from the beginning, it's not great. I think that Zaha and Townsend should have probably switched earlier. And Townsend really should be looking at himself saying, I could have done more today.
Hi, Jim. It's Amanda. As I said, welcome to our poll. We're really pleased to have you. And I'm really interested in your views on your manager. What do you think of Roy Hodgson?
I think Roy's a wonderfully stable, sort of good choice for us right now. It's what the club needs. Is he the most exciting manager in football? Probably not. But is he one of the most reliable managers in world football? Absolutely. And I think that he's, you know, a tiny bit conservative for my taste. There's a lot of people at the club who feel, I think Max Meyer deserves more of a chance. But Roy is of that school of, you know, possession is 99% of the law. And I don't mean football possession. I mean possession of a place in the team. So he's not going to make changes unless he really feels there's a warrant for it. He has a game plan that he's worked on all week and with the first 11. And so he'll go with that for usually an hour minimum. And it's often the subs will get, you know, 10 minutes at the end. I was happy today that he brought on Soloff and Meyer, because I think he learned last week when Everton did the same thing. We were toe-and-toe with Everton, should probably have been a goal up, and they brought on a couple of subs, and both subs were involved in the goals and made a big difference. And it was glaringly obvious that, if, you know, we need to have that kind of attitude too, to make changes when we need to. And I thought today he did respond to that, and I thought both subs did well. I thought particularly Soloff played as well as I've seen him play for Crystal Palace.
Hi, Jim. It's Kev Campbell here.
Hey, Kev.
I thought the 2-2 result was fair. I really do. Can I ask you, what do you think is a realistic position for Crystal Palace this season? Because obviously Roy Hodgson isn't probably a fancied manager, but he done a great job for you last season. So what do you think is a realistic position for you at the end of this season?
I think a realistic position is anywhere from 8th to, you know, 14th. Optimistically, at the beginning of the season, I thought with the signings we made in the summer, they were very shrewd. I thought if things went well for us and Benteke can get back in a groove, we could end up as high as 8th or even 7th, do what Burnley did last year. And if it doesn't click, then we could be in another relegation battle. I didn't foresee us going down this year. I think, you know, we've got enough there in the artillery and enough organisation. So, I mean, for most Palace fans, if we get to towards the end of March and we're safe, there will be a huge sigh of relief. That will be considered a successful season for us.
Jim,
it's been five years in a row of fighting relegation. That's pretty wearing on fans.
Yeah, that's fair. That's good.
Yeah, it's tough though, isn't it? Because, you know, Crystal Palace have definitely been able to be one of those teams that have found, you know, their strength and have been able to sustain in the Premier League. And at some point, I think as a fan, you know, like Leicester fans never believed they'd win the Premier League. And you guys, you know, I mean, Arsenal fans right now wonder when they're next going to win the Premier League. But to get a good run in a cup or be able to win a cup, you know, as a fan of Crystal Palace, like we set out at the beginning of the season and we're thinking, well, maybe we could win a cup. Maybe you and I will bring the Europa League home this season. There's this hope. So I always admire fans of clubs that you know, stand by them, support them. Is it tough, as you know, when the season's going to start, that it's probably going to be the same old, same old? Is that difficult? And then when you see your team perform like they did today against Arsenal, is it frustrating that you can't do that against a team like Newcastle?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's this season and last particularly, we really have not maximized our points. I mean, there was a friend of mine who works in stats. And Palace were top of the league in terms of not getting the points that they should have based on chances created and chances given up. I think we were minus 14 points or something last year, which was the highest, and Burnley were the opposite. And this year, as I said, we really should be sitting on 16 points, not 8. And today I scribbled down at one point, same old, because we had two good chances early on. Zaha hit the post. Townsend had a very good chance. And then we kind of got the goal and I thought, oh, okay, it's turning. And then we did the same old to give up two goals. And I thought, here we go again. And it was refreshing for me to see that we've kind of beat the jinx a bit. But if you look at it and from a biased Palace's point of view, obviously that second Arsenal goal, there was a handball probably in there beforehand, and it was, even if there wasn't, it was, they said it was the closest goal line technology goal that's been given. It was 9 millimeters from not being a goal. And that's extraordinary, you know, but that encapsulated for me, that second goal was like, that's our season in one move. And I thought, I think Kevin's right. I think 2-2 is probably a fair result. But again, on another day, Palace could have actually, if you look at the number of chances, I think we outshot Arsenal's sort of 16-9 or something and had far more corners. On another day, we could have snuck that. So it was probably a fair result. But we keep dropping points in many different ways. And that will even itself out probably, and that's why I'm not unduly worried. And I think we'll probably end up, you know, in that sort of 10th, 11th, 12th spot. I hope so. I hope I'm not wrong.
Jim, okay, so I've been arguing with my co-host and Mr. Campbell for about the last 2 hours on regarding the penalties. Now you had two penalties, okay? Your first one. Yeah, the first one, definitely, without any shadow of a doubt, got no arguments at all whatsoever. Your second one, Zaha dived better than Tom Daley's ever dived. And look, it's all opinions, football. That's why it's a wonderful thing. Football's a wonderful thing for opinions. What was your view on both of them?
I thought they were both penalties. And again, obviously, I'm going to be biased, but I can be quite honest about it. And I thought we got a very soft penalty against Everton last week, and I wouldn't have been unhappy if the referee didn't give that. So I can be objective too. I thought it was an absolute. Both penalties were absolutely stonewall. And I saw on Twitter right before I got on, someone said, "Jim, what do you think of Zaha's dive?" It was not a dive, look at the Man United game today. Martial went down way, way, way easier than Zaha did. Zaha beat him, and he caught him. It's like when Andy Johnson used to play for Palace. He said, oh, he dives. He doesn't. Andy Johnson used to go down quite easily because he was fouled, and he took the foul. Zaha isn't even that extreme. I think he was fouled, and he took the foul, and it's a foul. It doesn't matter whether you go down easily or not easily. You take it. And he caught him. And it wasn't a dive. A dive is when there's no contact.
She can't wait. She can't wait. She can't wait to get stuck right back in.
I've seen so many different angles. Okay. He Xhaka's foot is on the floor when he goes for the ball. Zaha dives over him. I want you to look at it in a different view, Jim. I know you are. I know you're saying it how you think, and you're not just saying it because you're a Crystal Palace fan. I get that. But I'm telling you, if you watch it again, he dives over, both his feet are on the ground before even Xhaka does anything. And then he dives over his knee. So for me, look, I know Sophie and Kev completely disagree with me, and that's fine. The first one, yeah, definitely. Look, we all get soft things. I mean, our goal, Lacazette's got his hand in the air and Aubameyang scores. He was being pulled by the shirt, and I don't know why he's put his hand up. I don't know if it's because he was telling the ref he's been pulled. I don't know what he was doing, if I'm honest.
He was pulling a Maradona, Amanda, is what he was doing.
I don't know.
That was
really
that was bloody cheeky. That was very cheeky.
Was he trying to cheat to get the ball, or was he just? It's not like him, Soph. That's what I'm curious. I'd like to hear his reason. You know, that he may be asked in the week. But with the regard to the second one, Jim, honestly, he has dived. I'm not saying he's a serial diver. I know there was a lot going on during the game. A lot of my friends were at the ground, and they said he did dive quite a bit, and he was going for a lot of challenges and stuff like that. But no, for me, it's not a penalty.
You're outvoted 4-1, I think.
I am, yeah, I am. I'm not outvoted on Twitter, but I'm outvoted here.
And by other Arsenal supporter and
absolutely.
A former Arsenal player.
So a former, boom!
I rest my case, my love.
It doesn't mean they're right just because they're Arsenal fans, honestly, or he's an ex-player. It doesn't mean it. It doesn't mean anyone's right. It's all about opinions. No one
the
can
majority
actually
majority is always say- right in a vote.
You've been in America too long. That's all I'm going to say.
I believe in democracy. 4-1, 4-1.
Amazing.
No, listen, I disagree. Actually, I'd have more, but I've seen it many, many times on NBC. It's a penalty, penalty, penalty every time. The handball, I'm actually less sure about whether there was any contact, but I'd almost give you the balance of doubt on that one, but not the penalty.
So, Jim, go on, Kev, because we do have a question for him after this from a Twitter.
I just want to say, I believe Crystal Palace saw Xhaka at left back and thought, do you know what? We can exploit that position. And there's no better player to exploit that position than Zaha. The fact of the matter is, Zaha sucked him into the challenge and Xhaka left his foot out. Whether his foot was on the ground, in the air, it doesn't matter. He impeded him from getting the ball and it was a penalty for me. So I understand Amanda doesn't believe it was, but for me, it was a stonewall penalty. And do you know what? I'm happy with the draw. I'll take the draw because Palace, you played well today. And you caused us plenty of problems, so I'll take the draw.
Yep. I think that's a very fair assessment.
And to be fair with you, Milivojevic, and you're going to kill me, Jim, if I pronounce his name incorrectly, but Milivojevic really held.
Milivojevic.
Yeah, held his metal under pressure. You hadn't scored. Here's what annoys me about Arsenal, some statistics that we allow other teams to kind of break, if you like. You hadn't scored a goal from open play at Selhurst Park yet this season. Is that correct?
That is correct. We had played four and or five. Was it? We hadn't scored. Yeah. So that was a big monkey off the back. Yeah, that was a tough one too.
That was. And here we have a question for you from AFC Neil on Twitter at Neil Gargis. His question was, Jim, do challenges like, does the penalty like what the Zaha dive that looks like a dive to fans, of course, does that make you ashamed as a Crystal Palace fan when players do that? Because it's become quite a pandemic in football, hasn't it, really? So when that does happen with your team, do you feel like, you know, well, the way the game's going now, that's how players behave? Or is it something that you just kind of think, oh, it's an unattractive trait for any player of Palace or any professional footballer to have?
So I didn't quite hear you cut out slightly on the question. What was the question? Does that make, as a Palace fan, am I what?
Ashamed that players behave that way.
I'm ashamed when anyone does it, if they're wearing a Palace shirt or not. You know, I'm ashamed if it's embarrassing when someone blatantly dives. There's nothing to be ashamed about. And Wilf is not a diver. You know, he just isn't. He gets battered every week. He doesn't dive, as I say, like most forwards in the game today. He'll take the foul. And, you know, why not? And you see players stay on their feet sometimes and not get a penalty. And you think, well, you know what? Your manager's probably screaming at you for not going down when you should have. If you're fouled, you take it. And he's that sort of player that can beat other players. And he gets tons and tons of fouls outside the penalty area. And to be honest with you, they should be just getting him into that area as much as possible and waiting for it to happen. Why would you feel ashamed? I mean, if I was the player doing it, I might feel ashamed. But, I mean, Martial today for Manchester United was more debatable. But, you know, to be honest, you know, that was probably a foul too. He just decided to, you know, delay it by several seconds, and it looked stupid by staying on his feet and then going down. But no, I don't. I think that's ridiculous to say. Am I ashamed or whatever?
Do you? That's an Arsenal fan asking you that question on Twitter. So I have another. Zaha to me seems like the kind of player that, with better, even better players around him, could be pretty special. And I know that he just recently signed that contract with you at Crystal Palace.
Yep.
And yep. I think he deserves it. He's the star man of that team. I feel like he's somebody that could actually be playing regularly for England. Do you feel like eventually that contract signing was a way for him to say, you know, protect him, the agent protecting him, hey, come and get me, maybe next summer? Do you feel like he's really committed to Crystal Palace? And without him, what does your season look like this year?
I think Wilf is absolutely committed to staying at Crystal Palace this season. Beyond that, I don't think anyone can say that about any player at any club. There is a worry that we're a bit of a one-man team in terms of he is so outstanding. What we really need is one other player to worry teams on the other side. And we had it with Yannick Bolasie when he was at his peak. And Townsend, we've occasionally had it, but he's more of a grafter than kind of a mercurial threat. So we need that other player. And I think the one person we missed this season, and actually if we had him in the team from the beginning of the season, I think we would be sitting in the top 8 or 10, is Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Because even though he's not a wide player,
totally,
he has that little bit of quality. But that towards the end of last season, when you had Townsend, Zaha and Loftus-Cheek and Benteke was starting to hit some sort of form. And Van Aanholt on the left there. That was really a handful for teams. Mm-hmm. And we're just missing that one player who can take the weight off his shoulders. I mean, because you can see that he feels like he has to do it all at times. And that's what we're missing.
Yeah, he definitely has a huge burden on his shoulders and he carries it well. You're listening to the Highbury Squad, our very special guest, Jim Piddock. You can follow him on Twitter at @RealJimPiddock. So I want to throw back the clock a little bit, seeing as we have Super Kevin Campbell on the pod. There must have been times, and I'm going to ask you both this, because Kev, you've got great memories of playing at Selhurst Park. And then I'm also wondering if Jim has great memories or not so great memories of watching you and Ian Wright, their former goal scoring machine, play at Selhurst Park. Kev, you first, talk a little bit about what it was like playing back in the day at Selhurst.
Back in my home place, South London. Obviously, I used to go up and watch Crystal Palace quite a bit. We used to whip them. That's what we used to do. No, the truth. And Jim will tell you the truth. We used to whip them. And Ian Wright was on that team. Mark Bright, Andy Gray, who I've known since I was a kid. John Solarco, all those guys. We used to whip them regular.
It's
and
true.
Then, it used to be a really good result for us. And then, obviously, they started getting better. We told Wrighty after the games, Rocky used to say, right, you need to come to Arsenal, man. You know, you're never going to beat us. And right, he used to be like gutted because we were there. We took all the spoils. We slapped him up a few times and then we move on. And then right, he joined us and he used to get some terrible stick. I think there's quite a few videos that's been on Twitter, you know, showing that 1-2, I think 3-1-2s. And then right, he puts the winner in and he celebrates against his old club. He got terrible stick that night. And, you know, it was always great because Crystal Palace were a great team back in the day. And then they came back into the Premier League. And then we were locking horns. So it was fantastic time for all of us. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah. I mean, obviously the golden era for us, but was with Wright and Bright up front.
No, Jim, did we whip you? Yes or no?
Yes. Yeah, I did interject when you were saying that. Absolutely. Yes, no question. I used to dread playing Arsenal, home or away. It was just, in fact, almost every other London team in the top division at that time would always clobber us. Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs. So yes, I've got some pretty awful memories from Highbury, from Sawhurst, of playing Arsenal, and yes, you've inflicted a lot of pain on me in my life. So you owe me now. Yeah.
Got to buy him a pint now, Kev. Got to buy him a pint.
Yeah, I have to, Jim. It. I do yeah, have to. Definitely. Yeah, you're right.
No, you're a terrific player, and you know, you were part of some great teams too. So we were punching above our weight at times.
So, Jim, we've prepared something a little bit special for you, like we do with all of our special guests. It's the quick fire round. It starts on the bell, and you have to, there you go. You have to kind of answer just as it's a quick fire round, very, very super quickly. Amanda and Kev, do you want to join in this? It's a little Crystal Palace mixed with a bunch of other stuff. Do you want to play?
Yeah, cool.
All right then.
No, I've said my bit. I don't wanna hurt Jim anymore.
The pressure. Trust me, as a Palace fan, I'm beyond being hurt.
All right, here we go.
50 years of hurt.
Oh, poor Jim. Right. Well, this will be fun. This will be more fun. The quick fire round starts on the sound of the bell and ends on the sound of the bell. Okay, here we go. Stevie Coppell or Ian Downey? Dowie.
Stevie Coppell.
Ian Wright or Mark Bright?
Oh, tough one. Brighty's a very, very good friend. Love them both. Oh, God. Ian Wright's the best player that's ever played for Crystal Palace. Mark Bright, I love you.
Amanda, we know who you're going to pick. Anyway, let's keep going. A future Crystal Palace manager, Chris Coleman or Gareth Southgate?
Gareth Southgate.
If you could have had one of these fellas in your team, who would you pick? Thierry Henry or Dennis Bergkamp?
Thierry Henry.
There's a house fire. You can only save one of them. John Salako or Jeff Thomas?
God, both. I know John very well. Oh, God. I'd save... Oh, no. How can you do that? I can't do that.
I knew it.
I'd sacrifice myself. I'd sacrifice myself so they both could survive.
Ah, you're a good pal. Netflix and chill or HBO?
Sorry, Netflix and what?
Netflix or HBO?
Well, I've had a film on Netflix that I wrote and produced and was in, and I've had a series on HBO that I wrote and produced and in. So I can't...
That's why I picked them.
It's like killing... Which of your children do you kill? I love Netflix.
Choice.
I love the way they run Netflix.
All right, cool. Cricket or baseball?
Baseball.
Eddie Izzard or Ricky Gervais?
Great friend, Eddie. Eddie, every time, works with both. Love them.
Amanda, before we let Jim go, who's been a very good sport here, you had a question for him, which was not football related. Is that
Jim?
Right?
Yes, I have. It's nothing to do with football, and I may have got my research wrong, but were you in Lost?
I was in Lost, yeah.
Okay, now you've got about 2 minutes, I know, but you need to explain to me what the hell it was all about. I watched it from beginning to end. And I was so disappointed with the ending that I felt like I'd wasted half my life watching it. I loved it. I never understood any of it. I don't think you were supposed to, were you? Were you all dead to begin with? Is that what it was? Or were you in limbo?
I don't know. I only watched a couple of episodes. Yeah, I think so. I think I did watch the last one, and it kind of explained, didn't it, that they were all in some sort of twilight.
What bit were you in then?
I played the father of somebody. I'm now moving into the grandfather of somebody, but now I played the father of somebody. Dominic Moynihan's girlfriend's father, or something. I can't remember. Yeah. Honestly, I don't want to sound blasé, but they come, they go. It's probably what,
I know. Where was it filmed, Jim?
In Hawaii, in Honolulu.
Oh, I thought it was. Okay. Thanks for answering that, because I still don't really understand all of it, but...
Yeah, no, I don't either. I don't... I wish I could help you. I mean, I thought it was an interesting show, but I only watched like 2 or 3 episodes, I think.
Okay. Brilliant.
Jim, tell us about your movie on Netflix and what it's called, what it's about. People can find it on
it's
Netflix
fun.
Now. It, yeah.
It's called Mascots, and it's a comedy that I wrote with Christopher Guest, and there's some improvisation in it, obviously, being Christopher Guest. And it's a 90-minute movie about a world competition for sports mascots. So there's a lot of people in silly costumes doing things, and I play the father of the English mascot, Sid the Hedgehog, from a team in South London, and that's what it is. It's a fun 90-minute comedy.
Oh, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, brilliant. It's brilliant. Honestly, Christopher Guest stuff and Jim, when they do stuff together, it's amazing. You Best in Show, For Your Consideration, all of those movies, just absolute comedic genius. And always appreciate you coming on the show, Jim. And we really hope Palace is one of those teams that I kind of root for, because I'm also buddies with Rebecca Lowe, and she's darling. And I know that you know Rebecca as well. So I hope
she's wonderful.
Isn't she great? And yeah,
I mean, I don't know her personally, but I think she's absolutely terrific at her job.
Yeah,
absolutely
she's really terrific. Good. They do a great job on NBC over here. So thank you. Good luck to Palace for the rest of the season. And maybe we'll hook up again towards the end of the season and find out how you guys have finished up.
That would be lovely. It was a pleasure talking to all of you. Have a very happy Sunday.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you, Jim.
Take care,
thank
Jim.
You. Cheers, Jim. Thank
Bye-bye.
You, mate.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye. Bye.
Thank you, Jim Piddock, for gracing us with your presence. A lovely fella. I adore Jim, and I hope Amanda and Kev enjoyed him as much as I adore him. But okay, here we go. Because, you know, Jim's a very polite Englishman, you guys, all right? And I'm not saying Super Kev isn't a polite Englishman, but what I am saying is that Amanda and I are not polite Englishmen. Are we polite English women, Amanda? Maybe, I don't know.
There's nothing polite about me or you.
Right. So let's really talk about these decisions, because we're united on one and divided completely on another. So why don't we just talk about the one where we're completely divided on? Super Kev, Amanda, the Zaha penalty. We're so close to our 12th win in a row. Xhaka puts himself in a position that I feel like, as a player, when you're in the penalty box, you can't stick your foot out not even 1 inch or iota. And I do think that Zaha played for the penalty and he won the penalty. But I feel like Xhaka's awkwardness and his inability to control the situation, especially with his second movement, is what caused the referee to give the penalty. Amanda, I know it's like you're sitting on hot coals right now. Why don't you go first and then Kev will counter?
It's not a penalty. He dived like he was Tom Daley. How many times have I got to say this? Right, I'm just going to read you a tweet because I'm not going to claim it, all right? This is exactly how I see it. She's put to me, exactly, Zaha used his left foot to kick the ball away to the right and brought his right foot back in to meet the left so he could use them together to dive, jump over Xhaka's knee. So how can it be Xhaka's fault? That's exactly what I think. That's what this, I'm going to give her a shout out, G-Bird. At G-Bird said that to me. There's loads of people on social media that are in my camp, I'm telling you. I know you two aren't and Jim wasn't, but he dived. Simple as that. He played it and he got a penalty, and it's not a penalty.
Super Kev.
Look, I understand. No, I understand what Amanda's saying, and I understand that you know, it's tough to take, but they isolated Xhaka on one occasion and Zaha took him to the cleaners. Whether you talk about him making contact or not, he put Xhaka in a difficult position, and Xhaka is not a left back. Let's get that right.
Not blaming him, Kev, one bit. I'm not.
No, I know.
I think he had a great game, if I'm honest.
I thought he had a good game too.
Yeah.
But the one occasion which actually counted when it mattered most, he was exposed. And the best player to expose him was Zaha.
Yeah.
And he moved his leg across him. So Zaha's going to make the most of it. He didn't dive. He made the most of it. And it was a penalty in my eyes. That's all I can say.
Kev, both feet of Xhaka's were on the ground before Zaha even took off. So how could he have lifted his leg? Oh,
it doesn't matter. It was across Zaha.
You're a bloody striker. That's why you're saying it.
No, listen. Listen, I'm Arsenal. So if he never put that leg across.
Is that He doesn't even stick it out. Not like Martial at bloody United. And you're telling me that's not a penalty. That's more of a penalty.
That wasn't a penalty. Anthony Martial, the Everton player.
The one at Man United.
That was a good challenge.
The player got the ball.
Yeah.
He got the ball.
Oh, my God.
All right. Hold on a second. Time out. Otherwise, do you want me to ring that bell again? Do you want me to ring the bell? Right. Fine. Then there's only one way to settle this. And that is to bring on the ref.
This is a public service announcement. Listenership is highly advised. In order to protect his identity and the potential abuse from the Guna Nation and Premier League fans at large, we cannot reveal the referee's name, blood type, or general location. Public service announcement end.
Referee, welcome to the Highbury squad. Thank you for joining us once again this week. How are you, ref? It's been a very, very busy Sunday.
Yeah, no, I'm good. So the last pod I did, yes. I think there was a bit of speculation about which football team I supported. And to be honest with you, it's not out of the bag yet, but I'm honoured to be in the presence of the last Everton striker to score a winning goal at Anfield. And it was in the last century. So we're all okay.
Is the referee?
I did warn you,
shade?
Kevin, didn't I?
Is the referee throwing shade, or is it me? I mean, I don't know.
Kevin, is that factually incorrect?
No, you're bang on.
Thank you.
Yep. The thing is, Dave, it won't bother him. He's been with Red Nosed John all day. Don't worry about it.
I've been a Liverpool fan all day, so they've been blueing and redding it all day. Right, referee,
I feel like I can't let that go. I had to bring it in.
By the way, I would like to say that we are honoured on the Highbury squad to have the main man who was the last ever player to score, all right, in
goal
a Scouser derby. And
I know, it's amazing. Amazing.
What a goal it was. Excuse me?
Probably in black. It wasn't a great goal, Kev. It was about 2 yards out, cop end. I remember it very well, son. It's no problem.
Listen,
it was a great goal.
Yeah, exactly. The build-up was amazing. Right, referee. Any
goal is a good goal.
PG, by the way, I'm thinking this referee might need a yellow card right now. I'm just saying.
I give the yellow cards out, yeah, Sophie, right. And you've had one already, so be quiet.
He won't be invited back on the next pod, because the next pod is next weekend.
You can't smash it. You can't smash Super Kev. Right, referee, here we go. Big game at Selhurst Park today. Lots of talking points. Obviously, two penalties for Crystal Palace. The first one, everyone is saying, was completely stonewall. There is no debating it. It's the second penalty that is causing a ton of controversy. Talk us through why you think that was or wasn't a penalty against Granit Xhaka on Zaha.
It's poor defending. So you've got to look at. I heard Amanda before, and I get what she's saying. As a football fan, you're going to look at that and you're going to watch the replays, and you're going to go, okay, it is what it is. But as a referee, you have one view of this. You have one view of it. Granit Xhaka, and I said, funnily enough, do I help myself here, Amanda? Because I said this to you today. He's not a right back in a million years. He's not a defender, and what he does. He allows himself to be duped. And is it the right decision? Well, if you watch it six times, probably not. Or maybe twice, probably not. But actually, in the full view of the referee, that's a penalty all day long. He has nothing else to give. Granit Xhaka holds his leg. The player goes beyond him. Zaha's clever. And he wins the penalty. The blame lies with the defender, in my opinion.
Okay, but that first of all, he's not a right back. He played left back today, but that's not the point. He isn't a left
back. Whatever he played. Oh, full back, but, sorry.
Get your facts right.
Because yeah, we only did.
He's a
obviously,
back, yeah.
Facts are very important.
He plays right back next week if he wants.
He won't be playing next week because Kolasinac and Monreal seem to be fit. Oh, Kev, listen. We're going to beat them anyway. We're going to come on to that anyway. So basically, I'm going to... it's not a penalty for me, full stop. You know how I feel. Look, it's all about opinions and everything. I agree the ref... I agree how it looks to the ref. Yes, I've got no arguments with the ref. Absolutely not.
That's the end, Amanda. That's the end. How it looks to the referee at the end.
That's fine. But it's not a penalty when you look at it again.
Doesn't matter. are the rules of the game. Done. Okay. The referee gives it.
But you look
he can
at,
only go off one thing.
Hold on. You look at Lacazette's goal, Aubameyang's goal, and Lacazette's got his hand in the air like Maradona. So you can still look at it and still have a reaction afterwards. Okay. I didn't see what Lacazette did until the replay came in. And the ref's not going to see it, nor did the linesman. So all I'm saying is, for me, he played it, he dived it, he did what Vardy did against Monreal at Leicester, against Leicester at the Emirates a few years ago, and I said the same thing, it wasn't a penalty then. But I'm not blaming the ref, absolutely not.
Okay.
Zaha's done his job, he's dived over the knee and he's got a penalty. Good luck to him. Listen.
It's not about Zaha.
If it was
it's
my...
It's not about Zaha, this is about
on...
Xhaka.
It's not fair
Xhaka.
On
Xhaka.
Xhaka. Thank you, ref.
Hold on one second, allowed everyone, just one second.
The attacker.
Right. One
to
second.
Win a penalty.
Xhaka's fault. It's not Xhaka's fault. He's not a left back.
It is Xhaka's fault.
Oh, it's
no,
not.
No, but Amanda, in that there. Situation, in
he's
that
an
situation.
International footballer, Amanda.
Hold on, ref. In that situation, Xhaka is the player who is playing defensively against the attacking player coming onto him. So it is Xhaka's responsibility. That is, in that moment, his responsibility to either have a clean tackle or do something that pushes Zaha a little further away from the goal. Now, Kev, with regards to what the referee is saying here and why I wanted to jump in, is that are you saying, ref, that just because of the view of the referee in front, are you saying that if he was maybe at a different angle, that penalty isn't being given? I don't understand that.
Is that me or Kev who's answering this?
Well, I was just mentioning Kev's name because I love him so much. What I'm saying is that you said
it's not,
to
it's
Amanda,
not about the angle of the referee.
No, but you just
at.
Said
it's
that
about,
like, he's right in front of the referee.
Yeah,
so.
No, what I'm saying is what the referee sees in his view, it's not about the angle. What the referee is looking at is one decision. He gets one snapshot at it. And what Zaha has done, he has gambled that what Xhaka is going to do, he's going to hang his leg out. That's what he's gambled he's going to do. He doesn't actually hang his leg out. He just holds his leg. But Zaha's gone behind him. From the referee's position and what he sees, he's going to give a penalty every day of the week. That's a penalty. When I looked at him full time, I went, that's a penalty. When I watched it in slow motion, I went, maybe not. And I'll tell you another thing, that's not going to be overturned on VAR either. Because VAR has to give clear and obvious reason why the referee's wrong, and there isn't that there.
So was the Martial penalty today, Everton, Manchester United, because Kev and I think very strongly, once again, that the Everton player actually got a touch on the ball. I didn't think that was a penalty at all.
Penalty all day.
Kev,
penalty.
Step in here, mate.
He touched the ball. He touched the ball, but you're watching it with hindsight. That he touched the ball. Of course he did. It's a penalty. The referee can only give a penalty in that situation. He can't give anything.
Why?
Else.
Why? I'm asking.
Because Kev, from his view, from what he's seeing in a one-off view of it, he doesn't get the ball. He's giving it because he doesn't think he's touched the ball. Right. You've seen it on a replay, Kev.
Yeah. So if it was VAR, would that be a penalty, yes or no?
No. So that would be overturned, Kev.
Right. Fair enough. But
the Xhaka one wouldn't be.
Yes, I get that. I understand that. Yeah, that's fair.
So would the Mustafi penalty, in your opinion, referee, was absolutely 100% a penalty?
Yes.
Okay. We all agree on that one, I think, also. So, right.
Sorry, Soph. Just on a wider context, and I know that people listening to this will know who I support, and we're moving forward to next week, aren't we, and whatever, but, you know,
we're not moving forward to next week. Okay. I want to just ask Kevin something. Kev, did you ever dive?
No.
Oh, no. Shut up.
No, I believe back in the day when Wrighty and Rush and Shearer and that ilk of player, KC, I think that there may have been the odd occasion, but it wasn't in their psyche mentally to think
to
that
dive.
Way, to dive. Now
can I,
they
can
do.
I jump
That's
in
the difference.
Can
Can I just jump in and ask Kevin something there? Because I think that's really pertinent. Kev, I watched you. I've watched you for Everton. Obviously, I'm not particularly liking you in that shirt. And you play for Arsenal. No problem. What a Forest. I don't think, as a footballer, I ever watched you and thought you dived, ever. You're not that type of player. You're not. I'd say he was, and he's not.
I'm not saying he's even a diver, absolutely not. But there must have been the odd time.
Both of you shush.
I want to hear what Kev's saying.
I'm speaking. Hold on, I'm asking a question.
Let him finish.
I've already asked him.
You interrupted him, Amanda. You interrupted the ref.
It's not about diving. But I'll tell you now. If Kevin Campbell is in a cop penalty area in the 93rd minute of a game and he feels a knock to his leg and he's running, you're not telling me you're going to break your fall not to go down. That's not diving. That's winning a penalty in a situation. Am I right, Kevin, or not?
Well, it never happened.
I know, obviously he never got in our penalty area.
No, I can only talk about what's real and what's not real.
Okay.
And when you play in a derby, everyone is aware of making contact in a box. Because you have to, because you know players are going to go down. So if it's a 93rd minute and somebody makes a mistake and they clip you and you go down, it's up to the referee to make a decision.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Totally agree with you.
Do you understand? It's not that you die. Absolutely. But if somebody clips you, you go down.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. That's what I was saying, really. That's the point I'm making. If someone makes contact with you, you're going down.
I get that. Yeah.
All right, ref. We hear all your points. And I do think there's a different mentality to the striker back in, you know, the 80s and 90s when Kev was playing and stuff like that. And even the early 2000s, I think.
It happened last week, Sophie.
Well, last week is now in the modern game.
Sergio Aguero did it last week. Stayed on his feet.
Yeah, but what she's saying is the modern game, it happens. Some players do stay on their feet. Lacazette did once and he shouldn't have done. So it does happen. But, I mean, you can't say that, Soph. I mean, we had Perez. I'm not being funny. He got touched slightly. I never forget, actually, Sol Campbell going down. A big lump like him. And he went down and it wasn't a penalty. And we got one, I think.
Amanda, we had Suarez who never went down.
Yeah, all right, whatever. God. I can just imagine on that note,
referee, now I think you've only just gone and exposed yourself completely. We have nothing to do with that. We've always protected your identity on this show. And if you listen to the jingle back once the show's posted, you will hear that we have done everything we can to protect the identity of the referee. Anything that happens beyond here is on you.
We'll speak next week, yeah?
You know what, referee? I can't wait to talk to you next week. You know why? Because me and my pals here, Super Kevin Campbell and Princess Guna, cannot wait to wipe that little smile off those Scouser faces. You have your little pie and chips up there north, you know, where the clouds are, it rains a lot, it's cold, it's so cold. And you know what? I reckon we're going to hand you your first defeat. Can't wait.
All right. Good. We'll discuss the 94th minute Salah penalty next week. It's fine. No problem.
Oh, Salah scored two goals after being absent all season.
Will he dive?
Who, Mohamed Salah?
Yeah, he'll dive.
No, Mohamed Salah won't dive. Bobby Firmino, mate.
I reckon they'll both dive. Anyway, referee, thank you so much for joining the Highbury squad today. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you. Take care, thanks. Including the blue nose.
We'll see you. Good
take care, Kev.
Don't let the best door hit you on the way out.
Bye.
The referee has left the building. Public service announcement end.
All right, thanks to the referee. Was it me, PG, or was that a little controversial from the referee this week? I felt like you should have been handing out red cards to him left, right and centre there. That's the most outrageous performance we've ever heard from the ref.
I think he couldn't wait to speak to his blue nose friend. So that's why. And especially with us coming up next weekend. I still disagree. I still think he dived. It's brilliant. Listen, we want all our listeners to tweet us with all your views, because I'm sure this is going to run and run and run. The beauty of football, it's all about opinions, can't be factual unless it's a goal. So, yeah, controversial was good. We need to move on. We've got Blackpool before Liverpool.
We do have Blackpool before Liverpool, but I just wanted to wrap up Crystal Palace because there were two things I wanted to ask you guys, but you got to answer it in 30 seconds or less, right? Lacker's lack of care when he passes the ball when he's not moving in a forward position. Kev, we've seen two goals now this season, maybe three, if Amanda can correct me. What do you think about that? Is that something we should be concerned about with Lacker? 30 seconds.
No, I don't think so. I think he's just trying to do the best for the team. He's put such a high work rate in, it's ridiculous. And, you know, we've got to go with our guys. We can't turn our back on them. Look, we drew today, but we're 12 unbeaten, and I think it's a positive. So let's wrap this one up and let's move on to Blackpool.
All right.
Right. Amanda. And I actually agree with all of that, fun enough. Lacazette is the only one I know is today in the Chelsea when I was there, because I screamed at him when he did it and then they went and scored the third goal. Mm-hmm. But no, it's not a concern of mine. As Kev says, the amount of work that boy puts in, I would never sit here and slag him off at all. Absolutely not. I love Lacazette. But we are allowed to pick out if certain things happen.
Of course.
You know, like last year we spoke about Xhaka. I mean, we haven't even spoken about his wonderful free kick. You know, it was beautiful. I can't blame him for that penalty. I'm sorry. I don't think it was one. So he's not a left back. He's doing his best. And I'm glad that the crowd were all behind him, because you could hear that.
That is a fantastic, fantastic point. And one of the best points so far on the podcast today is that we are so killing Xhaka for that penalty that we are forgetting about that wonder free kick that was a peach of a goal. I went nuts. What a beauty. That was an absolute beautiful goal. You're right, Amanda. He should be given credit for the progress he's making this season under Unai Emery, and also for that goal. It was absolutely stunning. I do want to ask you guys one more quick one. Should Deal or No Deal, Ozil walking off like he was 100 years old in a Zimmer frame and then throw in the captain's armband, I believe it was, after he passed Unai Emery? Should we be concerned about that, Super Kev?
Not at all. I think he was just frustrated that he didn't have a great game. And I think Unai Emery has earned the trust of the players that they back him. So, you know, he's like that. He will make changes when it's not working. And, hey, up from Ozil in the week to Ozil today was chalk and cheese. So it's understandable.
Amanda, does that bother you, what he did? Or does it show that he cares and he couldn't impact the game?
Look, it's very hard because people think I just say everything wonderful about Ozil. I think he was frustrated. I like to see that passion. I watched his interview with Alex Scott. I don't know if you both watched. Oh, you wouldn't have watched it. Kev, did you see the interview with Alex Scott beforehand?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. I mean, he laughed at when people said he was lazy because he's had it a lot. But yeah. I love seeing that. He threw it down. He was pissed off. Well, why shouldn't he show that? I didn't have a problem with Sanchez doing it, if I'm honest. You know what? Look, he was upset with his performance. He was upset. I don't know if he came off at the time we were losing or we were drawing. I don't know. But all I'm going to say is I've got no problem with it at all.
Okay, very cool. So quickly before we end the show, and you know what, guys, we're running out of time. So we're going to answer your Twitter questions on Twitter. Wow, how revolutionary is that? Thank you so much for sending them in. Amanda, Kevin and I will make sure that we respond to every single question. Blackpool in the League Cup, another opportunity to see some younger players. And I'm really excited because I have a feeling, obviously, Smith Rowe might be playing in this. I can't wait for his Arsenal future. What are your predictions, guys, for the League Cup against Blackpool?
4-1 for me. 4-1. We're going to beat them 4-1.
Okay, so Kev, you're 4-1, yeah? I'm going 3-0.
I'm going to go 6-1.
Oh, what? Behave.
No, I like it.
We're going to thrash him. Yeah.
6-0?
6-1, I said, Amanda. Oh. I'm giving him a goal because it's Arsenal, all right? Yeah, I think we're going to thrash them 6-1. I think it's going to be emphatic. And I think a lot of players are trying to impress Emery. It's very different to Wenger. They used to know they'd get to play, and they were lackadaisical, whereas I think this crowd under this manager want to prove they deserve to be in the first team. All right, let's talk about the big one. November 3rd. This is it. This is the big test, you guys. 12 unbeaten. I would like to take the score and shove it right up that ref's. What do you guys think? What does your crystal football say?
Amanda, do you want to go?
I'm going to go Arsenal 3, Liverpool 2.
Get in there! Come on, Arsenal!
I'm going to go 2-1, Arsenal. And I truly believe that Liverpool might score first. And we're going to come back and do them.
Do you guys remember that game last season?
Yeah,
that,
I was there.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. I mean, that was unbelievable, wasn't it? That 2 minutes. Was it 2 minutes, Amanda?
Madness.
It was 2 minutes of madness, wasn't it? It was just a joy. And I think that we were really unlucky not to win that game. And I think that...
So,
yeah.
What's your prediction?
I know.
Don't forget.
Okay. I actually think it's going to be 3-3.
Oh, really? What, yeah. The same as last year?
Yeah, after all that, I gave the ref and stuff like that. I think even a draw is great for us because everyone's expecting them to thrash us. And I tell you something, and I'm going to post it because I sent it to Kev the other night. I was very upset with Paul Merson. What is he about? I know he's your ex-teammate, Kev, but what is that about, just trying to kind of have a voice and be controversial just for the fact? And he's actually goading Arsenal fans and acting like he's not even being authentic is in analysis and his opinions. What was that? He's actually looking forward to us getting thrashed by Liverpool.
Before he says a word, Cave.
Sophie, what I think Merce has an opinion.
And he's going to say this.
No, he has an opinion and you've got to respect his opinion. It might not be what we want to hear, but he's got an opinion. Now, it's up to the team to prove him wrong. And, you know, we would jump all over Merce if we beat them or we get a draw or we don't get thrashed. But what Merce is banking on is Liverpool are a dangerous team, and we all know that. They can blow teams away very quickly, which they've proven in the past. So, you know, he's thinking that Liverpool, because Arsenal have had difficulties at the back, let's be honest. He's thinking Liverpool are going to do the same to us, but every game is different. I believe Arsenal will rise to the occasion. I really do. And they will beat Liverpool. But let's see what happens on the day.
Yeah. Amanda, okay. Do you have an opinion about this before we just
I do,
duck out?
Yeah. I'm a little bit in between the fans who despise him now and Kev. What I think is this. He's entitled to his opinion. Most of the time, funny enough, and I'm going to get slaughtered for this, I do agree with what he says, but it's the way he's doing it. It just comes across to me that he actually wants us to lose. I mean, even Jeff Stelling said, they've won 11. Give them some credit. You know, so I just feel like as an ex-Arsenal man, mm-hmm. you don't have to be so, like...
Negative.
Yeah, yeah, do you know what I mean?
Like, it sounds vindictive.
Kev, right? We're not idiots. We all know we could get blown apart on Saturday. We know there's problems with our defence. Every Arsenal fan does. It's not exclusive to us. It's not rocket science, okay? We're not idiots. But the momentum that we're on, and we're still on, we should still be on it. We had a poor performance today and a draw was a fair result, okay? Hopefully half of them won't play on Wednesday night. Actually, 3/4 of them won't play. Yeah. And, you know, so they get a little... Because we've had Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday lunchtime. I'm sorry, it's not even in 7 days. It's like 6 days or whatever. So all I'm trying to say is this. You can have an opinion. I would go on there and say, I'm worried about our dodgy defence. Look, we looked at it again today. I don't know what Mustafi was doing, blah, blah, blah. But I would be going, but we've won 11 games here. I don't care who we've played. We're on a moment. None of us expected that, blah, blah, blah. He just did it in a way where he sat there and like he wanted us to lose. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think has got fans' backs up.
Absolutely.
It just needed to be done in a professional way where he didn't even look ex-Arsenal to me. Look, I'm just going to bring this up quickly. Graham Souness today, I don't know what you thought, Kev, and I don't think you've watched him, have you? So
I have, yeah. America.
Graham Souness wound me up so much today, Kev. Did you understand what I'm going to say about this? He was so miserable about Arsenal, sarcastic about Ozil, which I thought was unprofessional, called Tottenham. He said, we'll know by the 5th of December when Arsenal play Tottenham, Spurs and United. And I'm like, what did he just say? He means Liverpool, United and Tottenham, right? I just felt there was something wrong with him today. And I think very, very, very anti-Arsenal. And actually Redknapp was a bit more in favour and sort of pulled him a bit. And I just thought, what is Souness on? Seriously? Why isn't anyone giving us credit? We've had 20 years of the same manager. We've got a new one coming in, right? He's trying to find his feet. And we've won 11. We haven't lost for 12 games. I'm sorry. And that's the problem with Merson. It just
Amanda, can I add to that?
Yeah, of course.
When George Graham took over at Arsenal, you remember, you were there. I remember. That all everyone was against us, and George Graham used it to galvanize the squad. They're all against us against them mentality. Then Arsene Wenger took over after Bruce Rioch, and it was us against them mentality. But Arsene Wenger hit the ground running and done the bits, which was great. And now we're on the third cycle, which is under Emery. Now Emery's got to go through the same. He's got to get the squad used to everybody writing them off, because the media, especially the media, do not like Arsenal. They prefer people who are not winning anything. They prefer people who have internationals in their squad who ain't doing nothing apart over Arsenal. So what we've got to do, we've got to be smart. We've got to use it to galvanise us and make us stronger and tougher. And then when we go and start winning stuff under Emery, then they're going to start backing off. You watch and see.
Yeah, I can only imagine what the media would be saying if Tottenham went on a 12 unbeaten run. I think it's diabolical. And I will post that piece that I sent to Kev the other day because I feel really strongly about it. And here's something I'll leave you with as we close the podcast. I see Paul Merson as a Middlesbrough player now. I don't even think of him as an Arsenal player. That might be hard, but you know what? When a club gave you so much, the most decorated years of your career, yes, you can absolutely have an opinion. Rio Ferdinand, Paul Scholes, Gary Neville, Phil Neville have been very harsh about Manchester United and Jose Mourinho. But when you've got a new manager who's starting at a club and not much is expected of him until maybe a year in, and he's taken a team on a run against teams that we would normally lose against. And you sit there in your Sky Sports studios and even Jeff and Charlie are looking at you like you're a nut job. And the look on your face just says, I want them to lose. And you've got that smug look. You're not an Arsenal player. You're not an Arsenal fan and you don't love the club. So Paul Merson deserves everything he's getting right now from the Gooner Nation. And on that note, there's only one thing that we love here, and that's Arsenal. Amanda, remind everybody.
Always Arsenal!
Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter, at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva. Amanda, aka at GoonaGirl1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.